to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to It's Always Been Visible.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Monday, March 4th in the year 2024. Obviously, the big news of today is the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that they can't remove President Trump from the ballot at any state, which is a good thing. And that's obviously caused a little bit of initial meltdown, which I believe will only continue.
Look, unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong that this is the way the framers wanted it to be. They wanted Congress, the people who are closest to their constituents, to be able to make the rules of the laws. That doesn't change the fact that because of gerrymandering in the House and all kinds of other issues, they're not doing their job on a lot of these big issues.
Yeah, right. So the left is already having its normal effect, which is just the CIA left with, along with its NPC puppets that walk around and do things, which we know. But this is just kind of the beginning of things. You can expect an escalation. There's conspiracy theory rumors running around that they're going to do a fake assassination of Trump. That's probable. I mean, that's as likely as anything, especially with AIs and a whole variety of other things that they'll try because they're literally at the end of their game. And it is a big game, and we're all part of that game, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight because it's been in our face the whole time, and the real question is, who do you trust? And at the end of the day, we know what that is. That means we walk in our faith, we walk in love of Jesus, and we have to walk this middle ground and just stay away from some of this chaos that's coming at it. The worship of the idolatry in the nation is unprecedented, and the idolatry in the world is unprecedented. Between Elon Musk, between President Trump, there is a massive worship going on here that's very dangerous for a country. I go around and I see the celebrations and MAGA energies back up, and that's great for that sense of people being part of something. The problem is there's a real danger here of going too far with that and not realizing what things are coming. The question is, are people ready to self-govern? And the answer is no. Unfortunately, people are still very much ready to have someone else fix it for them, and that is ultimately the problem. Patriots, before we get going here tonight, one thing to be real clear on is we are in a very critical time. Part of that critical time is as we head down to the wire in the end of this current cabal's power, they're going to do anything and everything they can to do scorched earth. Part of that is likely to use something to shut down the internet, whether that's shutting down the internet or worse, trying to do something like an EMP is very real. Also, lightning strikes and solar flares are also real. They can overburden our systems, especially with back surges and the power grid, and you can end up losing a lot of your electronics. You need something to protect yourself from that, and that's where we have EMPShield.com. EMPShield.com protects from EMP levels 1, 2, and 3. Also, a lightning protection of 100% lightning guarantee backed by a $25,000 insurance policy and solar flare protection up to 228,000 amps. EMP Shield is the world's first EMP protection technology for an entire home and vehicle tested to military and UL 44149 standards from ETL. So it is built to exceed the military standards. EMP Shield is one of the world's fastest whole home surge protectors operating in less than 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. You can get all that if you head on over to EMPShield.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. You'll get $50 off and free shipping. This is an American company, veteran-owned, American-made product, tested in American labs. Fantastic product. Highly recommend it. I have numerous of them, a number of them in the house and in the vehicles, and adding more as we need them. So there, you can get them for specific applications, and that's the best part about it. Whether it's your home, your vehicle, your RV, your generator, your solar, and wind protection, radio protection, three-phase protection, they even have a European model. So check it out, empshield.com, promo code BARTS, and you're off to the races. The thing that it's interesting is when we go back along the lines of things, we can definitely see that history has been in our face. And unfortunately, we're even in the process of rewriting history right now and not doing it in a good way. Before we get going too far into this tonight, I want to read a post by Mike Adams, and it's a good one, and it's on point, and I would have to say I agree full-heartedly with what he wrote today, and it's something that goes back to where I started, which is basically the Trump worship and the inability to see through the bigger political games that are going on. There's no question, because I've had people say this to me, you're all over the board on Trump. What I am is I'm not going to worship anybody, and I'm going to call out somebody when they're wrong, and they're wrong. And as an example, to that point, Trump was wrong on the vax. When you issue a bioweapon that depopulates society and claim to be the owner and founder of it, you're not going to walk away from that. When you issue a bioweapon through Operation Warp Speed that ends up killing our soldiers and maiming them, you don't get to walk away from that. And these are things that there are decisions that were made wrong. Trump was against bump stocks as well. These are not constitutional positions, and yet people are very quick to wash over those. There's no question that as far as candidates go coming up, if you even believe the election's going to happen, Trump's going to be the only option. The one thing that, and part of this whole race that's before us and this political melee that we're looking at, which people are not asking the hard questions, is right there before us is, how is it that we are going to have a fair election when nothing has been changed? Voter rosters haven't been cleaned. The Dominion machines are still in play. And yet somehow Trump continues to win. There's a willingness to accept what we see and rationalize it in very simple terms, which doesn't make any sense at all. The highest level of voter turnout was actually in 2020, and yet the election was rigged and he lost. And yet here we go charging into this again, and no one's asking the how of how is it that suddenly Trump is winning and winning decisively, and no one is, and we're still counting on him winning a main election. If that is in fact happening, then you have to ask the bigger things of what's caused the change that we weren't part of and or informed about. Is it because there's some sort of covert action going on in our country, unconventional warfare, removing assets and taking people out of the way so that the election process goes forward? Is there a stealth re-engineering of the elections process? Is there a hack going on to counter a hack? None of those things create an election with integrity. It's an election that's being done, and it's an election that's being conducted under a very wartime mentality. And those are not good things. That does not equal a fair election. We know, and I can confirm this through an interview I did almost 2 or 3 years ago now with Patrick Byrne, where it was stated that his hack team that was investigating the 2020 hack of the election, his team identified that there was a hack that put the counter hack that put Trump in power in 2016, which leads me to always question of why isn't President Trump pushing for the clearing up of the 2020 election like Mike Lindell is. Mike Lindell remains one of the few people out here in America that is literally calling for fixing 2020. And yet the Trump team is not. And my suspicion is that if you go to 2020 and you find the hack, you're going to find what Patrick Byrne found. And his team, you're going to end up in 2016 and discover that Trump was put in power because they hacked the system that was already rigged. Now, that's a problem because that means our elections, no matter how you vote on this, were not fair. And Trump just didn't get put in power. He got installed in power. We're going to talk about that, but that doesn't mean that it's right. And that's the best thing, the right thing there is the true thing is it doesn't mean it was right. And in order for us to have a country, we have to have a fair and equal election. The fact of the matter is that there was something happened in 2016, and it was much more than just stopping a hack. These were things that were flipped. And so there was a cyber war that went on to make the election happen. And that's the question one has to ask is, if it happened in 2016 and it didn't happen in 2020, and now you're assuming that Trump's going to get in power in 2024, what is it that we're actually looking at in a system? It's a big game. It's rigged. And the real issue here is, where are we going as a country? Now, let me read this post by by Mike Adams, and it's important. It says, 2 years ago, and this is Mike writing this, 2 years ago, I was approached by a group of Patriot investors who wanted to invest in Brighteon TV and shift it into a platform to support Trump's reelection. Although it was not directly stated, I came to the understanding that this meant I would not be allowed to criticize Trump on issues of vaccines, which was Operation Warp Speed, government debt spending, support for Israelis' human rights violations, etc. As you know, I have no interest in being controlled by investor money, and I won't compromise on the freedom to tell the truth about Trump's mistakes, even though I am certain at this point that Trump is our best political option to try to save America from the tyrannical treasonous Democrats. I plan to vote for Trump a third time this November. Nevertheless, my refusal to jump in bed with the Trump tribe, as he calls it, as I call them, has resulted in the mainstream alternative media, MAM, as David Icke calls them, censoring Brighteon platforms in exactly the same way that mainstream media, corporate media does. Zero Hedge, for example, stubbornly refuses to link any of the outstanding interviews broadcast on Brighteon TV from top-notch analysts like Jeffrey Prather. And very few outlets in the MAM will cover my own pivotal interviews with people like Dr. Michael Nels, the indoctrinated brain, or Robert Kiyosaki on decentralized TV. Meanwhile, X, Twitter, still censors Brighteon links, and X shadow bans both my own account, Health Ranger, as well as accounts from Alex Jones and InfoWars, which has also been routinely suppressed and shadow banned, even though so-called patriots are running them. What are we witnessing? What we are witnessing here is the rise of a heavily funded, agenda-driven alternative conservative media, which is no more principled than left-wing corporate media and cares nothing about the real truth of what's happening in our world. For example, many members of this group of publishers and broadcasters have their heads so deeply embedded in Israel's rectum that they have abandoned the pro-life camouflage in order to support the ongoing genocide against Palestinians. If they had principles, they would be pro-life for Palestinian civilians, but they aren't dedicated to principles. They are dedicated to their tribe. It is the tribalism that has long characterized the tyrannical left, and now I'm beginning to see the early signs of the rise of right-wing tribalism that is, in many ways, just as disturbing. True independent thinkers and journalists are simply not welcomed anywhere on the major platforms or shows these days. Most platforms demand obedience to a particular self-set of contrived narratives, and you are punished or deplatformed. The Brighteon platforms truly stand as a rare example of defending the freedom of speech and the freedom to think. From Brighteon Social, Brighteon TV, and Brighteon.com, and soon Brighteon AI, we strive to build infrastructure that supports human freedom and critical thinking. We refuse to be bought out, and we do not conform to the popular narratives just to fit in with influencers or platforms that are steamrolling the audiences with hidden agendas. I reserve the right to disagree with Trump at any time, and I'm not afraid to call him when he's wrong, even though I plan to vote for him. And I'm going to pause there. That is the whole point right there. So for those that have said to me, like, where are you at? You're all over on Trump. I have the right to call him out and will call him out because that's our duty as patriots. If we don't, we end up with tyrants. Continuing with this. But Trump is also capable of making huge anti-liberty mistakes, such as supporting bump stock ban or fast-tracking the deadly depopulation jab through Operation Warp Speed. If we surrender our ability to call out mistakes made by the people who represent us, then we become oblivious sheeple rather than independent-minded citizens. Do not give in to the blob. Don't compromise your principles just to get on a platform or get some clicks or funds. Stick to your principles. Stay the course. Think for yourself. Tribalism is not the solution. Independent thinking is what will connect us to truth and liberty. Signed, Mike Adams. I think that post is just absolutely on point, and it sets really is an important discussion to have as we enter into this political year. There's many candidates that are coming into this place, there's many discussions that have to be had, and they aren't all shaped by one theme or one person, which is President Trump. One of my big objections has always been on MAGA is Make America Great Again. What is it? Give me some substance to it. But we don't have substance. And as I've been talking about recently, when we start to look at the architecture of this, there's a lot of disturbing trends that nobody is questioning. We understand that under President Trump, huge dollars went to funding Quantum. Huge dollars went to funding the 5G network, which is primed for 6G, which was just on the books at that time. And while we have COVID, we had this entire lockdown, 5G deployment was off the chain. If we map out where 5G towers were and the deaths of senior citizens, there's a surprising correlation. And as I've told you, just even in this last week, with the updates that we've had from Michelle and Leah's mom that's been in the hospital. And by the way, she's doing much better. Her numbers are now at 126 on her sodium numbers, and she's hopefully will be released tomorrow. They're trying to get her to 130, so keep our prayers up for her. The fact is that what we look at and what I discovered is that there is a consistent pattern here of people getting high congestion, lots of phlegm in their chest, nausea, headaches, disorientation. All of that's much of that is also coming from low sodium accounts. And one of the things that causes low sodium is EMF radiation. EMF radiation is coming from these towers and other things. So we're really, and if you follow Dr. Lee Merritt's work, you're going to find that you're right back at that. You're back at the point of she's saying that we're in an EMF war. I agree with this. So much of the issues that we start looking at presidents as people that are going to save the world, we're missing the bigger picture of what has been going on here and that one man can't save it. It's ultimately coming down to us, and we have to make those decisions of what we're going to do and how we're going to save this world by waking up. Let me play a piece here. This piece actually goes back to 1998. It's stunningly accurate. This is David Icke. Take a listen.
Across the millennium years is crunch time in this whole agenda, crunch time for the human race. This is the time when this network of interbreeding bloodlines wants to bring in its global fascist structure of a world government to which nation states would be administrative units, of a world central bank and a world currency, a currency that wouldn't be cash, it would be merely electronic, for which there are fundamental implications for human freedom. And also the World Army, which is designed to be NATO, expanding as it is now, of course, to become the fully fledged World Army, World Police Force. And underpinning that little lot is designed to be a microchip population in which we are microchipped with our financial details, our medical details, etc., etc. And that would allow not only electronic tagging, people knowing where we are all the time, it would allow the external manipulation through this electronic means of our mental and emotional processes. This will happen unless the human race wakes up and wakes up fast. And to do that, we need to understand what's really going on. And to let people know that, we've got to stop beating about the bush, stop pulling punches, stop pussyfooting around, keeping information from people, oh my goodness, how will they react, and just say, this is going on, take it or leave it, make of it what you will, but this is what's going on.
And that was in 1998. He was dead on. Now here's a post that came from 1969, and this actually was Linda Gordon, Jewish feminist Functionings of the Family and Women, a Journal of Liberation, fall of 1969. And the quote was, the nuclear family must be destroyed and people must find better ways of living together. Whatever is ultimately meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. My point is they've been telling us all along what they're going to do. The thing is nobody believed it. And everybody believed that somehow we would be greater and stronger in all of this. Take a listen to this piece from 1960, which is rather stunning.
Today, doctors at the Federal Communicable Disease Center acknowledge the flu vaccine and the recommended dosage is ineffective, while in a larger dose, it can be harmful. However, the flu vaccine is still recommended
for old people and the chronically ill.
Last month, a Senate subcommittee headed by Abraham Ribicoff charged that the federal government wasn't doing a good enough job of informing the public about ineffective vaccines.
Scientists at the Division of Biologic Standards test vaccines for their potency and safety before licensing them for public use. However, the division does not determine the effectiveness of the vaccine. That is left to the manufacturers. A case in point is the influenza vaccine. Four scientists in charge of work on the flu vaccine during the 1960s found it to be ineffective, said they refused to give it to their own families. Two were transferred to other work, a third left the division. And over the entire 10-year period, not one word of their unfavorable findings was allowed to be published. But a more serious case involving the relationship between the leaders of the division and their scientists involves the adenovirus vaccine, a vaccine given to thousands of American soldiers to prevent certain cold-like symptoms. When it was shown that the vaccine contained a contaminant which caused cancer in laboratory animals, it was taken off the market.
But the vaccine contained a contaminant which caused cancer.
But that was 3 years after the division's own scientists had pointed out the danger. Dr. Murray justifies the use of the vaccine by saying it took 3 years to examine the evidence against it.
It was more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
It's more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
But since the agent couldn't be removed, there was no other course.
Thus, for 3 years, American troops were injected with a cold-preventing vaccine which was causing cancer in laboratory animals. And some of the division's scientists, who charged they were prevented from publishing results of experiments which show some of the vaccines to be ineffective.
The control officer in 1960, who has grave doubts about the potency of influenza vaccine. These doubts were made known to the director of the division and through the proper channels.
Those were news clips from the 1960s that had done the investigative reports showing the vaccines were ineffective. And yet, here we are with a 70% injection rate, a double injection rate of the public. 90% of the public took this current vaccine. This is insane when you look at where we've come, and we did not listen to what was being said. Let's go to 1985. This is Phil Donahue. This is the preview show. This is what people watched when The View wasn't around. Take a listen to this discussion in 1985 on Phil Donahue.
But not another doctor.
Absolutely another doctor. I think, he does make a point that we should also say Sabin is live and the live vaccine, yeah. And Salk
is inactive,
right. As we say in the laboratory. All right. How many was it, they ask?
Well, how many people know that the European epidemic of polio, there were about 20 or 30 cases in this country. Now, of course, the American doctors will argue that the reason why polio disappeared in this country was because of the vaccine. But then why did it disappear in Europe in the 1940s and the 1950s without mass vaccination? Right. Why doesn't it occur in the third world, where only 10% of the people have ever been immunized against polio or anything else?
So in other words, we may be fighting a tiger that died.
That's quite correct. Ask the people in Great Britain. Ask the people in Japan who
back here. Gentlemen, if you please, I've got probably the smartest audience we've ever had.
I have a question. How long a delayed action, if any, would you connect this with, like MS?
Is MS a possibility? Would multiple sclerosis be one of the possible results?
As a matter of fact, there's a new publication that just came out from John Hoffman, who's a close associate of Toni Morris's, that gives the references linking MS in later life to the early introduction of live virus vaccines like measles and like some of the others that are live viruses. Now, at the present time, I would recommend that anybody who has MS or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or any of those degenerative neurologic conditions of later life carefully review their vaccine histories.
I would also like to comment to that, because in connection with my case, I've been doing some research.
Let me tell him once again, Ms. Gundy, that you are a Guillain-Barré victim, contracted following your receipt of the swine flu vaccination.
Yes, and I am in the process of writing a book about my experience, and in the process I've done considerable research,
And from what I have learned, it looks as if immunizations frequently cause autoimmune disease.
These symptoms, these issues, are all part of COVID. Nothing is new. It's all been here the whole time. Take a listen to this. This is Jim Carrey in 2009 with his wife.
What happened after 1989? Three. It's twice as many as anywhere else in 30 countries in the Western world. But we give twice as many shots as any of those countries. Why is that?
If it's vaccination and you're not against vaccination, right? Well, what are you against? Don't vaccinate for this, but vaccinate for that?
Yes.
I think we have to choose which ones are absolutely necessary.
How do I know which one?
You should educate yourself. We want to empower parents to educate themselves. Do we need to have the chickenpox? Do we need the hepatitis B shot on the second day of life?
I don't think we can afford to assume that the people who are charged with our public health any longer have our best interests at heart all the time. Parents have to make their own decisions.
Why would a doctor not want to know more about something that could save a life or prevent a disease? I don't understand.
The AAP is financed by the drug companies. Medical schools are financed by the drug companies. This is a huge business. Vaccines are the largest growing division of the pharmaceutical industry. $13 billion.
They control medical schools.
What we're asking is for them to take a loss for the good of our children. That's a tough sell in a boardroom.
And there you go. This has always been about money, and it's always been about lying, and yet somehow they've been able to overwhelm the public with these incessant lies and get people to believe. It's incredible. We are really at a critical point. Take a listen to this piece during COVID of Woody Harrelson on Saturday Night Live.
Okay, so the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes. And people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea?
And who would believe that crazy idea? Who would? We are in a really critical point in our nation, and there's some big questions that need to be asked. And so this takes us back to Trump. When Trump took power, he stated that we were going to give the power back to the people. And I think it's an incredible statement to make as a president coming in. I think what we also have to ask, though, is are the people able to handle the power if it's given back to them? Unfortunately, the track record for the last 50, 60 years has proven no, because if people see it on TV, they believe it. They don't question, they don't dig, they don't ask questions at all. If you're familiar with thalidomide, I grew up with thalidomide. Thalidomide was a drug that was used to help ease pregnancy, and that ended up with massive, massive defects. In fact, I went to one of my college roommates was a thalidomide baby. They said that thalidomide only had a few hundred patients or damaged babies. That's a lie. There were thousands of babies that were damaged by thalidomide. And in fact, like I said, one of my roommates was a thalidomide baby. His arm, his left arm, I believe, was the size of my hand. It caused massive deformities. There were no major issues around that. They buried that under the rug, did the payoffs and sealed the cases, and thalidomide kind of magically went away. We have been a country that has been indoctrinated and inundated, continues to bury us with these ideas that somehow we have to listen to these big companies, listen to presidents, listen to everybody, and be obedient. Here's another piece from David Icke. This is about assassinations, and it kind of gives a darker picture of what's around this power structure. Take a listen.
If you look at dots, individual happenings, they look a certain way, but you start to connect them, and you see the pattern.
President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been cut down by assassins' bullets in downtown Dallas.
A plane has crashed into one of the towers.
Diana, Princess of Wales, has been killed in a car accident.
Assassinations are not just made to happen. They have to be allowed to happen.
What do you think happened with Kennedy?
He was taken out for a number of reasons. One of them was that he wasn't keen on going into the full-blown Vietnam War. If you said to most people, it still is most people, how many buildings came down on 9/11? They'd say two. Go on the internet and you put in Building 7 collapse or whatever, you will see the most obvious controlled demolition you'll ever see.
There's some people who think that they were drones.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God, yes. There were 84 cameras in and around the Pentagon. on which we've never seen.
Princess Diana death. You alluded to the fact that you thought she was murdered.
She knew literally and symbolically where the bodies were buried for a start. And she was becoming bigger than the royal family, and I go back to it. She knew their secrets. The police knew about Savile. They knew what he was doing, but for some reason he wasn't nailed. And he wasn't nailed because he was a procurer of children for the rich and famous, and therefore his back was watched. And he stayed in the inner circle of the British royal family all the way through, almost to the end of his life. The world is controlled by basically a spider's web. The cement that holds this web together is pedophilia and Satanism.
The web is held together by pedophilia and Satanism. It's right there. It's been here the whole time. And it's been in this process of wanting to deny what this is over and over and over, not wanting to face the truth of the fact that what we are facing now is an outcome of something, the most horrific thing we could ever imagine, that pedophiles and Satanists have seized control of the world, and they're now running the world with all their power. It's a disturbing moment, and it's a point now that we have to come to some real hard realizations and hard questions to ask ourselves of what is it that we're going to believe now as we hit this cusp of major change. So I'm going to read some things here. I want to go over some things of things that are being said. And the question is, are we going to take heed to these and take these seriously? Ann Vandersteel wrote today, bank collapse imminent. The raise set has begun. Now, the problem is we've gotten to a point where we've heard these things and we start to tune them out. We start to say, this isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen anymore. This is all over. And these are conspiratorial views. Take a listen. Effective March 26, 2020, the Federal Reserve Board reduced reserve requirement ratios on all net transaction accounts to 0%, eliminating reserve requirements for all depository institutions. In other words, if you put in $100 into the bank, they no longer have to keep back any reserve of that $100. They can loan that $100 out 100 times and not keep anything behind. That means all money is leveraged. She continues, in spring 2023, the banking collapse started with smaller regional banks. In spring 2024, the next wave of banking collapse will continue. November 2023, the CEOs of Bank America, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan told Congress they could not go from zero reserves, which is where they are now allowed to be held to a 3% reserve balance, which was the minimum to try to offset a massive collapse, because they just didn't have the ability to do it. The current deposit-to-loan ratios means that the banks cannot sustain any type of run on the banks. When the people realize what is happening, there will be a run on banks. Effective March 11th, 2024, there will be no more money to loan out, and the Fed will pick up and choose who gets to loan out money. Congress passed a bailout provision with 2020 Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which allows the banks to confiscate assets. The bail-in relief was legalized in the U.S. following a 2007-2008 financial crisis in which banks deemed too big to fail were bailed out by the U.S. government. The specific section of Dodd-Frank that deals with bail-ins is Title II, Orderly Liquidation Authority. Who's exposed? 401k retirement accounts. Currently, there are $27 trillion in retirement accounts. People with cash positions in banks that will have their money taken. The banks have already started this by limiting how much money you can take out, transfer on Zelle, or move in general. What does this mean? This will be the demise of the middle class, leading to a recession and then depression. People will be left with nothing if they do not diversify their cash into paying off loans, buying gold, silver, crypto, and other hard assets. You've heard me talk about this for months, literally. And here's a big warning. So the question is, are we going to believe these things? Or are we going to cast them off and continue to go down our merry way? Here's another one. Looks like the Chinese marijuana operations have increased in America since Biden took office. This comes from Marissa Hansen on Twitter. She continues, 8,000 grow houses in Oregon. Most of the workers on the farms have been trafficked in through our open border. Most likely our training project most likely are tainting the product with fentanyl as well. Two birds with one stone. The growing Chinese investment in illegal American weed, multiple states in the West are seeing an increase in Chinese workers and funding at unlicensed cultivation operations. Now, this is not out of the historical context. The British who wanted to start trade with China, but China said no, decided it was a good idea a long time ago to grow opium in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and then process it and ship it out of India and take it into Singapore. This led eventually to the opium wars in China, where they managed to get a large portion of China addicted to opium, forcing the emperor to open up trade to the British. We ended up in Afghanistan to kill a whole lot of people and have a whole lot of our people killed. At the center of that fight was opium. And what did the CIA get its hands on to traffic to make money for their black wars and other things that they do? Opium. It's these are all historically context and keep happening over and over. When are we going to learn? I think is the question of when do we wake up and say enough is enough. Now, here's a big one. And this is literally one that's right in our face. It has to do with the DMA, the Declaration of Military Accountability. We have a military that has violated the law. 300 generals have violated the law, every one of them. And what they have violated is they have mandated a vax upon this public. And the vax was not allowed on the soldiers. They were denied religious exemptions. And as a process, we had over 120,000 soldiers that were put in a position of having to face punishment, torture, abuse, etc., by our own military because they did not comply with Big Pharma's agenda to ruin our military and to destroy and depopulate the nation. Now they're moving into the next level, which is all about pacification. Pacification of a nation is that they don't want the patriots, which we are now being tagged as white Christian nationals, to take power. This is why you're seeing a big push in gun control by the Democrats. It's why you're seeing a big push on Christian nationals as domestic terrorists, because their agendas have to have people that are willful and compliant. This is a 7-minute piece by Tucker Carlson. It's an important piece to listen to. Take a listen.
How did Rome fall? Historians have been debating that question, well, moving on 2,000 years now. But everyone agrees one of the reasons is pretty obvious. The Roman military, its legions, became dominated by non-citizens who in the end, because they weren't loyal to Rome, turned against Rome's citizens. So knowing that as we do, consider this series of facts. This country has been flooded with tens of millions of illegal aliens. At least 7.2 million, that's the official number, have entered since Joe Biden became president. That number is greater than the population of 32 states. So what do we do with these people? Do we deport them? No, not according to the U.S. Congress. Here's the idea.
There is no higher honor than serving your country in uniform.
And that honor could be extended to migrants under a new bill introduced by Hudson Valley Congressman Pat Ryan. Called the Courage to Serve Act, this bill would offer qualified and vetted migrants an expedited path to citizenship if they serve in the military. According to Ryan, last year the military services collectively missed recruiting goals by roughly 41,000 recruits, leaving some crucial positions unfilled.
If there are folks with the courage to raise their right hand, take an oath to protect and defend our Constitution, and put their lives on the line for this country, then they sure as hell deserve the opportunity to be citizens in the United States of America.
Ooh, Pat Ryan lecturing us on what it means to be an American, as if he would know. But consider this for a second. The military can't meet its recruiting goals. Now, who forms the basis of our fighting forces? Well, sorry to say it, but white men always have. So the U.S. military has been attacking white men by name. We're against you, white men. And so it turns out lots of white men don't want to join the military anymore. Who could have predicted that? So there is a problem getting American citizens who were born here to defend their country. Now, in a normal nation, you would pause and ask, what are we doing wrong that young Americans don't want to defend their own country? Maybe we should change and improve. But not in this country, not with this Congress. The idea is let's allow an invasion of the country, not use the military to stop it, and then populate the military with the people who are invading the country and hope for the best. Wow. If this ever does become a police state, if you're ever ordered to obey at the point of a gun, this is the way it's going to happen. Maybe not. Colonel Douglas McGregor seemed like a man to ask about this. He's a former senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense, the commander of the last tank battle in American history, and the CEO of Our Country, Our Choice. He joins us now. Doug, thanks so much for coming on. Now, I don't want to jump to a lot of conclusions about this, but since you are, in addition to all the other things I mentioned, a military historian, assess, if you would, the wisdom of allowing people to invade your country and then handing them automatic weapons.
You know, when I listen to the comments coming out of the Senate or the House, let alone the White House, I'm sometimes reminded of that famous statement in Vietnam. In order to save the village, we had to destroy it.
Yes.
I get the impression that's the plan in Washington. We have to destroy the country in order to save it.
Clearly.
At least, I guess, from the standpoint of everybody in Washington, whatever happened before they arrived was wrong, and the brave new world must be built in the future on the ruins of the past. And they're doing a pretty good job of trying to make that work. The military is a good example of it. And military institutions take decades to build. They're resilient in most cases because of the human capital that replenishes them on a routine basis. We're having problems recruiting for a very simple reason. People that have been through this over the last 20, 30 years have said, what are we doing? What's the point of being in the military? We go to these places, they look around in Iraq or they look around in Afghanistan and they say, there's nothing here. What am I doing here? Oh, well, you're building democracy. And people burst out laughing. It's nonsense. Of course it's nonsense. How is this defending America? And I think that's a huge part of the problem. If you were to ask 100,000 men, white, black, or otherwise, or who call themselves Americans, what are you ready to do? They're ready to defend the United States. But they don't see much evidence that we're defending the United States. If anything, we've walked away from that in favor of what? Defending Ukraine or defending parts of the Middle East? This is not what we signed up for. And I think that's a huge issue as well.
I wonder, though, what the effect on our domestic politics, our domestic life will be. I mean, when you're at West Point, I imagine you saw your job as a newly minted Army officer defending the United States from its enemies abroad. But the DOD is playing, I think, an unprecedented role in the domestic life of our country. You saw it on January 6th. You see it in the censorship efforts being led by DOD. So should we be a little nervous about the idea of arming foreigners, lawbreakers, people who've broken federal law, and handing them weapons? Like, why would you be crazy to worry that that might be used against us?
Well, if you were playing for the Eagles and suddenly you were fired and the manager of the Eagles decided to hire the third string team that works in Dallas, Texas for the Dallas Cowboys, then you went into the game and discovered that the third stringers from the Dallas Cowboys are helping the Dallas Cowboys win, you'd be pretty upset. Well, that's effectively what these people are deciding to do. None of these people are Americans. We know from having interviewed them, they have no aspiration to be Americans. What they aspire to is to get into the consumption machine, get the ticket of entry, the free check, the free phone, the free transportation tickets, the free food, the free medical care, and the free this, the free that. That's why they're coming. And people say, well, they deserve this. No, they don't. They haven't worked for any of it. In the meantime, what do Americans get? You know, we have a force right now that can't defend anything anywhere overseas very successfully. Look at the failed military operations we've had for over 20 years. And look at the border. No one brings it up. No one's even trying. No one seems to care. You know, I think the largest problem is that Washington is this ideological bubble. And everyone decides that anyone who doesn't agree with them, that the world has to be refashioned in some new image that exists only in their minds, and that anybody who disagrees with them is by definition a criminal and has to be treated as such, what better solution than finding people who have no connection to the American people, arming them, and then sending them out to oppress us? Sounds like a great solution.
Yep, one step closer to tyranny. This is the real. Are we going to listen to these things and believe them, or are we going to cast them off and then look back at history and say, wow, listen, they told us. This is really the moment we're in, and it's an important piece to remember. I think this is.
I'm tired of feeling like a hostage in my own country. I was talking with somebody, really nice guy, and we're talking on the plane, and he's getting excited as he's talking about the missionary work he does. And I remember, like, I even had this almost tinge, like, oh, I wonder if anybody's getting offended by us talking. And then I stopped myself. I'm like, no. He's talking about raising his kids, and he's talking about going out and preaching, and he's talking about speaking hope into people's lives and the sacrifices that they made and where he's come from, because he had gone through a lot to get to that point. He has every right to be excited about what he's talking about. And I got every right to be excited for what he's talking about. And I am tired of parents and people in general, free people, what are supposed to be free people, upset because, well, you know, we're not allowed to talk about politics or religion. I don't want to be accused of being a bigot. I get told this by the same people that want to look at me with a huge level of righteous indignation. How dare you want school choice? You must hate poor kids. As if I don't want it for poor kids. And then those same people get up and sit there and justify why there needs to be pornography in a school, or why that kid needs to get puberty blockers at 10 years old, or why that kid needs to be carved up, or that kid needs to be aborted at month 9. And I'm the bad guy? No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Only in clown world is that the bad guy. And the only reason I believe it's been allowed to continue to this degree because there hasn't been enough men in society. Not that I don't want women to stand up too, but there hasn't been enough men in society to stand up and be like, slow your roll. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, this power that they're projecting, where does it come from? I don't see any one of these people that poses a physical threat to me. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You want to go down that road, I will show you what a bad idea it was. But because of their influence within institutions we've all been taught to respect, that's where the power and authority comes from. It is illusory. And we're going to see how much of an illusion it actually was when men start standing up and going, no, not in my house, not in my community, not in my state, not in my country. You're free to live the way you want. The moment you try to impose that on me, you got something else coming.
100%. And that's the place we have to be. And the problem we have now, when we start to see the trends, which we go back to that letter by Mike Adams and some of the beginning discourse, when we get to a place where we cannot even question a candidate, and I'm focusing on Trump, where's that discussion and discourse of him saying that he was the father of the vax? Nobody wants to touch that. Why? Because they want to get him in office. When you can't stand up and speak truth, we haven't gained anything. All we're doing is just playing a shell game. We're moving from one candidate to the other. So let me reframe something I did the other night, which is extremely important to get. Elon Musk is being touted as the person who's restoring free speech. And yet, as you heard from Mike Adams, that's not entirely true. And just to highlight this, Bard's FM account is permanently and forever banned on Twitter. We've restarted an account, but the original Bard's FM account, I've been told in multiple notes from Twitter, it is forever banned. So don't talk to me about free speech. It doesn't exist on X. It's an illusion. And what it is it's a honey trap, and people aren't seeing it. X has become the big place for discourse because X has the most robust AI. And what's happening is that all this information that's coming in, everybody's being profiled, tagged, tracked, and scheduled for this new social credit score. Elon Musk has Tesla, which just happens to be the only electric car company that's still adding new lines to electric car because it is completely backed by Department of Defense technology and money. And so we are seeing a single man starting to control critical industries of this new future that they're wanting to put upon us. They are pushing electric cars. Elon Musk, Tesla charging stations are the number one charging station across the entire United States. And they're still expanding daily. They're not stopping. In fact, they've standardized all the electric car plug-ins to the Tesla standard so that all cars now will use that standard. We have the Skynet, which is what I call it, Elon Musk's new internet system and sat phone cell system. It's being spread all across our country. It will tag and track every single movement you do. And it's being touted as the great new era of internet. And behind that is this new super secret, super secure satellite system for military that, again, through Elon Musk and SpaceX, they're doing. SpaceX also has the rocket technology. Starting to see a trend here. One man funneled with taxpayer money setting up a shell company that the military industrial complex is feeding off of to create the ultimate prison system, which the grid system for the new prison planet. And as we do this, they're also talking about running the digital coin through Twitter. Now, maybe I'm just a little crazy. Maybe I'm just a little bit tainted from a lot of things that don't go quite right and you get a little suspicious after a while. But I start looking at this and I say, wow, we've got the rise of Trump coming out of nowhere as the economy is being led to fail, as the Q movement likes to say, sometimes you have to show them. as people are losing their lives. Ranchers are losing their land. People have been burned off of their land. Land is being taken by corporations. We're being forced into eating cattle. I mean, eating bugs instead of cattle. Trump's buddy, Tyson, is involved with seeing that Tyson Foods is now expanding in $500 million bug plants as they move away from the cattle. And it just so happens that 1.1 million acres that burned in Texas, that apparently there was some strange green lights again that started that fire, just happened to burn a big chunk of Texas's area where they raise hay for their cattle. Just happened to do so. Reducing Texas's ability to be the number one beef producer in the nation. We're seeing an increased dependency on imported beef as they try to reduce the amount of beef that we can have here, because apparently this generation, this young generation Z and millennial, are so retarded that they literally believe that cow farts cause global warming. And they're forcing us into dietary issues. You hear nothing about this on the campaigns. And it just keeps going because this is big business. We're watching eminent domain being positioned to take 20 million acres out of the center of America to put in a solar farm. And how are they doing it? They're tagging it to be white national Christians that are going to be radicalized apparently by this move. Well, yeah, no kidding. Take my land. Oh, you'll radicalize me too. But that way they can call you a domestic terrorist and take your land without under the Patriot Act. And so it just seems like we're being walked into a major trap here. A major one. As everybody waves the Trump flag and says, make America great again, and we're being channeled into something that just doesn't feel right to me. Because the whole thing is, trust us and trust the plan. What is it? This great new horizon of new technologies, of zero-point energy, of all these things, what is the plan? Because I'll tell you, the fastest way to move people into this new plan, offer them free internet and offer them free money. You put those two things on that new digital system, and I swear to you, 70% of this public will walk into it and scream, hallelujah, we're free, and be walking into the greatest trap ever seized by a nation. My point of all this is everything is before us, and it is up to a citizenry of a republic to question everything, to constantly be questioning, and to constantly be putting the questions to the candidates, to the people. And if we aren't going to do that, then we're just living in a tyranny. And the only thing we're doing is we're living in the illusion that it's some sort of a republic, when in fact, it's literally a tyranny. Being in a republic, as Ben Franklin reminded us, now that you have a republic, good luck keeping it, because it is tough keeping it. But just to put things in proper perspective and maybe tone things down just a bit, maybe it's a good way to look at what our White House is really about and where we are right now. This is what's in power in this country.
Anyone else feel like a White House has been filled with people from the Make-A-Wish Foundation? You know, like, he really wants to be president, but he's dying. It's so sad. His final wish was to be president. You're president, Joe. You're president. Get up there, buddy. What's that? What's that? Wheels on the bus. Do go round and round. You want to be vice president? Come on. Yes. No, you don't have to do any work. Just get up there and have fun. Yeah, who wants to be press secretary? Who wants to be... What? Cream lotion? Cream lotion John Prairie? Kareem? We're going to call you Grey Poupon. Grey Poupon wants to be press secretary, everybody. What, she has a little brain damage? Oh, it's okay. She doesn't got to answer anything. Get up there. You're part of it, too. This is fun. All right, who's in charge of military? Who wants to be in charge of military? Your rainbows are fun. You want... You're in charge of military. There you go. Woo! White House.
Pretty much it right there. I think that sums up where we are. This final snapshot of America. Rainbows are fun. That's it. Patriots, you got to stay vigilant. Got to stay in the fight. Got to keep pressing truth all the time, because people don't want to hear right now. They just want to make America great, whatever that looks like. Got to keep them vigilant. Never fear the ability to speak truth, because truth may not be what they want to hear, but it's what they need. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you tonight as we come together and we just take a reflection on where we are in our walk and in this nation and in this time. And truly, Father, as we pray into this, we just are praying for just a very powerful moment of revelation and awakening, that as we step in as a nation, as we walk truly in that power and that anointing of the body of Christ, we literally have to start pressing in for truth in a greater way. to not let anything go, to step in more boldly, to step in more deeply, to walk in that body of Christ, to speak the truth into the world and its truth to power. And it's there that we start to shake the core of what people are, to wake them up, even if it means it's uncomfortable. Flipping tables was never an easy thing, and it's something we have to continue to do because it's a greater mission than just being obedient to a candidate or being obedient to a political outcome or a political cause. We're walking in the kingdom's authority, and with that, our calling is always there to be to you first in all things. And so, Father, we just pray that that will constantly be the walk, to always go Holy Spirit into the world and to listen to Holy Spirit and to be obedient to that and not be swayed and persuaded and drawn aside or down the rabbit holes of politics and in the controls of conformity that are so powerful in this world. Truth leads. Truth is the root of which we stand upon with our faith. And so we pray that blessing upon everybody to have that foundation of truth and faith upon every step you make, never to vary and never to waver. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Patriots, nothing more powerful, and it's an obligation that each and every one of us has to speak truth to power, constantly press it, even when those conversations are not easy. They have to be said. We're in a very critical time. Lots of things are changing. People would like to step aside and to pretend that we're not there. But the fact of the matter is, this is a time of vigilance, and it's the vigilance that will win the day. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something. Let me get back in.